the Kestrel Turboprop, a decade plus of background. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome in to the Aero News special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. One of the big pieces of news out of EAA AirVenture this year was the return to the industry of Cirrus Design co-founder Alan Klapmeyer at the helm of Kestrel Aircraft Company, a new joint venture which intends to take the Kestrel six-seat turboprop to certification. Much of the focus, understandably, was on Alan's involvement and the plans going forward. Today, we're going to flesh that out for you with some detail on the plane's past and what it's been designed to do. At AOPA 2009, I had the chance to talk with Adrian Norris, the Director of Business Development for Farnborough Aircraft, about the plane's design parameters, market segment, and how it was related to, but different in important ways from, the Epic LT. We'll start with ANN Jim Campbell's talk with Alan Klapmeyer from Oshkosh, and follow it with my earlier conversation with Norris.
Well, basically, we've merged with what was Farnborough Aircraft to form a new company, Kestrel Aircraft Company, that will finish the design, complete the certification, and then manufacture this airplane in Brunswick, Maine.
And what's the timetable look like?
You know, it'll be in that three-year sort of time frame. But at this point, we're not sure what the performance will be. We're not sure what the schedule will be. We're not sure what the price will be. We'll come to that conclusion over, kind of a normal engineering process.
If you were to judge where you sit with this airplane as far as the scale of what's done versus what has to be done, where are you?
Obviously, in the end, the goal is certified production. One of the big steps that people focus on, obviously, is the certification process, and that hasn't started in a formal basis yet. But that's the substantiation of what comes before that. From a basic design point of view, analysis, and so on, it's really far along. Call it 50% of the way on that. So really good foundation. You know, they've been focused on certification since the late 1990s, and while obviously not being finished yet, they got a lot of really good work done.
Ultimate question, though, what does this airplane bring to the mix right now in a field populated by some pretty exceptional airplanes? What does this bring that heretofore hasn't been here?
It's going to have higher gross weight. It can do that because the propeller will get it off the ground and get it back in and out of the runways. So with the higher gross weight, what we're shooting for is larger payload, longer range, in and out of shorter runways. And we think that doing that defines this niche.
What is it that particularly intrigues you about this aircraft? I mean, you've been flying the system for a long time as a pilot. What makes this airplane get your attention?
This is still a great personal transportation airplane. I know we'll sell them to corporate flight departments and air taxi operations and things like that, but as a personal transportation airplane, it's going to be, you know, load three couples and all your bags and go into some interesting smaller airports.
Final question for now. Okay, you're back in the game, and it's nice to see you with just a thoroughly exciting airplane, and airplane's going to meet a number of niches. But that can't be the only thing under the hat there, huh?
Obviously, there will be a family of airplanes, and that becomes both a market requirement and a financial business structure requirement to be able to distribute the costs over. And it's something that just makes financial sense, what we need to do for the investors.
In a moment, some background on the Kestrel from Farnborough Aircraft Director of Business Development, Adrian Norris. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Piperjet.
Hypersport.
Pipermatch.
Global expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/piperaircraft.
Leading the way to a new generation of aircraft, Eclipse Aerospace introduces the Total Eclipse Twin Engine Jet. The Total Eclipse is a sophisticated, high-performance aircraft with low operating costs, low environmental impact, and uncompromised safety. Every Total Eclipse jet comes with flights to 41,000 feet, max cruise speeds of 370 knots, an onboard color radar with electronic moving maps and e-charts. And, of course, every Total Eclipse comes complete with a factory warranty. Log on to eclipseaerospace.net for more information.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and no ice protection. Go or you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Welcome back to the Aero News Special Feature. I'm Paul Plack. In talking about his new project, Alan Klapmeyer mentioned a merger with what used to be Farnborough Aircraft to finish development and certification of the Kestrel six-seat turboprop. His involvement with the project will certainly have some industry observers paying new attention to the plane, so I thought a little background might be in order. Work on this aircraft started more than a decade ago, and there may be some questions about the market niche at which it's aimed and misconceptions about Kestrel's relationship to the Epic LT. Last year at AOPA 2009, Farnborough Director of Business Development Adrian Norris did a nice job of answering my questions, starting with the history of the earlier company.
Farnborough Aircraft is a British company which has been around for about 10 years now. It was founded in 1998 with the express aim of developing the optimum air taxi, six-seat turboprop air taxi. And over the years, that's developed slightly into the aircraft that you see behind you. The company had a joint venture in 2003 to 2005 with Epic Aircraft, and we did a lot of aerodynamic work on the wing. So this wing, which you can see on the airplane behind you, was developed by Farnborough and is used on the Epic LT and on this aircraft. But despite the similarity in looks between the two airplanes, the Kestrel is a substantially larger aircraft than the Epic, and designed only to be a certified airplane and not to be an amateur built.
Now, there were some people who said that as neat and as sexy and as good performing as some of the Epic aircraft were, they were destined for issues when it came to the certification process itself. What is different about this aircraft in that regard?
Well, it's a larger aircraft, and we're going to make some changes for certification. The main issue really is the power and the size. So we're going to be flat rating our engine down to 1,000 horsepower, which will make it a much more manageable airplane, and will deal with some of the challenges for certification that would be faced with the 1,200 horsepower engine currently fitted.
All right, now, in this day and age, it's rare to see a project like this going forward. I mean, over the past few years, we've seen lots of very light jets and even some turboprop aircraft. And again, as you mentioned, the things that Epic was trying to do come up to a certain point and fail. What is it about this aircraft going forward that makes it viable?
First of all, we think that we've got a niche in the market which is an attractive one. It's the niche that a lot of the VLJs were targeting, but we believe strongly that the single-engine turboprop solution offers a better answer to many people for a combination of operating economics, ease of use, and flexibility, and efficiency. We're at our most efficient altitude in the mid-20s, which is where the VLJs were going to be stuck and burning a lot of fuel. So first of all, we think the right product. We've tried not to innovate too much. So we have innovative aerodynamics, but the systems, the engine is tried and tested. The avionics that we're going to use are going to be standard. We don't want to reinvent too many new wheels if we can avoid it. And we're using carbon fiber technology, which has been certified. It exists in other Part 23 certified airplanes. You can see that we're on the stand with Liberty, who have been through this process with their XL2, using exactly the same composites as us. And we've been talking with them for a year now, exchanging some technical information and some financial information. And we believe that together, working with an established partner, we can build a very viable product and bring it to market at an acceptable cost, which will allow us to make some money afterwards.
I think a lot of people have the assumption in the States that they're going to buy a VLJ and fly it flight level 410, and that, you say, is not always practical in Europe.
For this sort of aircraft, flying sectors of 500-600 miles, perhaps typically, if you're going to climb up to flight level 410 at 300 knots, I think you're going to have some difficulties fitting in with the flow of traffic, and chances are you're going to be held down into the mid-20s, where we're efficient and many of the jets just can't be efficient.
All right, now you base this thing at home on an 1,800-foot grass strip. Tell us about these capabilities, because that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, we're based at an airfield called Red Hill, where the shortest runway is 600 meters, which is 1,800 feet. We have trailing link undercarriage, which gives very good rough field capability. And with the power of this airplane and the ability to use reverse thrust on the prop after landing, we can fill the tanks and fill the cabin and get out of that field and straight up to 25,000 feet.
Adrian Norris was director of business development for the company formerly known as Farnborough Aircraft. On its website, the new Kestrel Aircraft Company lists him on its executive team in an unspecified capacity. In the past few years, very light jet projects have held the spotlight. But turboprops are already proving they do a better job in many applications. And the Kestrel will be fun to watch. It'll be developed and built at the soon-to-be-decommissioned Naval Air Station Brunswick in the state of Maine. Much of the $100 million needed for certification has yet to be raised. Get more details on the new Kestrel Aircraft Company and follow its progress at kestrel.aero. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.